Dive in, dig deeper, explore the Word, preach the gospel, glorify God. All of these are things you will find in the PMC podcast. Join myself, Josh Schwartzentrooper, and my co-host, Nate Raber, as we look at our latest sermons, hear testimonies of those in the faith, and dive into the Word of God to see what it has for us. Each week on the PMC podcast, our goal is to help you in your walk with the Lord. We are all in this journey together and are not meant to walk alone. So get out your Bible, find a comfy place to sit, and join us for this week's episode. All right, welcome to the PMC podcast. I'm Josh Schwartzentrooper, joined here by Nate Raber, and we are here to address our tough questions in the series that we're doing at Providence right now called We Have Answers, and digging through tough questions and answering them through biblical verses and just biblical standpoints, questions that many of us have outside the church and many of us have inside the church. It's something that we see an apologetic need for the church to answer these tough questions and to figure out what it is that we believe and why we believe it. So today's question that we're going to be discussing today, Kevin preached this past Sunday on the topic of government and the role that they play in our lives and how we're supposed to respond to our governing authorities and people in leadership positions over us. What does the Bible have to say about that? And I thought Kevin, this past Sunday, Nate did an excellent job kind of addressing the question, when do we obey governing authorities and when is it right that we disobey governing authorities? And did you kind of want to allude to Kevin, the great job Kevin did Sunday?
I mean, he did a really good job bringing out several different Bible verses and stories in which there are times when we're talking about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they did go against government. And then a lot of different verses that Paul says and even Jesus says about obeying the authorities that have been put upon us. And so when we're thinking about when do we obey governments, you know, how do we obey governments, this is a tough question, especially in the atmosphere that we're at right now with COVID-19. You know, there's a lot of laws out that have been put out by the governments that maybe we think are dumb or not needed. But then, you know, if we're going to try to lead biblical Christian lives, we need to look to the scriptures to see how we are called to submit to authorities, when we're called to submit to authorities. And I thought Kevin did a good job laying that out.
Yeah, and several verses that we're going to be looking at today, like we said, we're going to see instances in the Bible where we're called to obey, and we're going to see instances in the Bible where it is okay to not obey. So one of the things there, one of the biggest things that one of the biggest sections in the Bible that really, when you talk about adhering to governing authorities, obviously is Romans 13. And Romans 13, 1-5 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear for the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of consciences. So I think it's good when we look at that there to see, right there at the very beginning, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. So when we look at this, when we're obeying God, even that in that first instance there, there is no authority except from God. It points me back to a very familiar story that a lot of us understand. And this is the unfair trials of Jesus. And he's before Pilate. And this is one thing Kevin even brought out Sunday in his message. But he's before Pilate. And Pilate says, do you not know who I am? I have the authority to release you or kill you. And Jesus goes right back at him and says, no authority has been given unto you that hasn't been given to you by God. So in this sense, I mean, we can look at, oh, by obeying to authorities, we are obeying God because God has given the authority to those people. If we believe in a sovereign God that is in control of everything, he's placed these guys in this position to be our rulers, and we're supposed to adhere to them. So I think in obeying our government, we're obeying God in a sense. Would you agree?
Yeah, and so I think we need to put a caveat on that. Where we look at obeying government, and I don't think we're called to obey government to the fullest measure of everything that we're told to do. You know, we can look at the disciples in Acts, where the Roman rulers and the Jewish leaders say, you guys can't talk about Jesus anymore. Yeah. And they said, well, we're basically going to, you know. And so there are times, you know, like I said, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 2, verse 4, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word for me is firm. If you do not make, oh no, wrong one. Verse 3, chapter 3, sorry. You are commanded, O people and nations and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every type of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And we go down into verse, I had it here, 15. Where they say, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your king, out of your hand, O king. But if it is not known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So this is where an example in Scripture in which these guys went against the authorities and the governing bodies that God had set up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where we have to look at. So we have to look at who's in ultimate authority of our lives and who is secondary authority in our lives. So looking at that and understanding that God is our number one authority. God is the Bible. What the Bible says, God rules us in that. We look at the Bible as our ultimate authority. So anything that would come against that, we could say no, as we see Peter say in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. That's what God has called us to do. If the Bible is our ultimate authority, we must stand on the word of God, not on the word of governors, presidents, Congress, whatever. We have to stand on the word of God as believers. And if anybody, anything that any other leader would say to us, it would be contrary to that. Now we are to always fall into our authority of Scripture.
And so, I mean, the next question that someone's probably going to ask is, so if God is sovereign, why does he, or if God appoints all these leaders, why does he appoint bad leaders?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can look in the example of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. He appointed Nebuchadnezzar, knowing that he was going to be a corrupt ruler, and through this, through them going into the fiery furnace and being saved, this is going to bring glory to him because now he has shown that he has power to do this. And so when we think of terrible leaders that have been in power, you know, obviously we think of terrible dictators and people like that. And to us, our human minds, we think, well, there's no way any good can come out of this. Why would God allow this person or this group of people to lead? But the answer, and you know, like I said, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around. The answer is somehow this is going to glorify God.
Yeah.
Somehow through this trials, through the persecution, through the killings of, you know, of a communist dictator, somehow God is going to be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
It maybe not make sense to us in our lifetime. It maybe not make sense in our kids' lifetime. But somehow there will be glory brought to God through certain circumstances that he allows his people to go through.
Absolutely. So in the passage that Kevin was out of Sunday was in First Peter 2, and it's verses 13 to 25. And in this particular point of Scripture that we're talking about today, Peter was definitely in a awful place. I mean, they, at the time, Nero was the ruler. If you know anything about Nero, not a great guy, not a great ruler. But he was saying to these people, like, you need to submit to this guy. And why? Because it shows, it helps us stand apart. It helps us look differently. You know, it says right here, for this is the will of God, that by doing so, doing this, doing good, you should put to the silence of ignorance of foolish people. So my thing is, Nathan, the question I always ask believers that want to sit there and just be completely dogmatic against everything the government puts out there, especially in the midst of COVID-19, all this stuff, and they want to be so dogmatic about it. My question is how does that person look in comparison to the unbeliever who is basically going against government and saying that it's wrong as well? So you're rebelling just like you are those that are lost. So what I wear on my wrist every single day, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm not supposed to conform to the way the world is doing, which we live in a world today where nobody wants to be ruled. Nobody wants to have authority. We're getting to the point now where we don't even want police officers around there. So how in the world are we supposed to be any different than the world if we don't want to have any kind of authority over us?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So I think we could kind of sum this. The reason why we obey rulers is, one, because that brings glory to God, and two, because it sets us apart.
Yes.
And so when we think of how do we set ourselves apart, you know, I don't like wearing masks. I don't really like everything we have to do, but that's a really good way, and I'm not saying you have to go wear a mask or whatever. That's a good way for someone to say, hey, why is that guy wearing a mask? He's the only person in this store or restaurant wearing a mask. Why is he doing that? That is a way that you can honor God and glorify him by doing that thing. They're doing what we're called to do. And you retweeted a tweet the other day that really stuck with me. It says,
follow me at jsports22.
Oh my.
A little plug.
Didn't know this was like a sports podcast. You said, it amazes me how Christians are so unwilling to sacrifice for others when God gave the ultimate sacrifice for them. A changed heart leads to changed action, and an unchanged heart continues to put self above all. And I really like that last part. A changed heart leads to changed action. So if we...
That wasn't a retweet, by the way.
I know. So that was... I mean,
that
your
was
a, own
that
words.
Was original... Given to me by the Holy Spirit material.
I didn't know if you just forgot to quote or something.
No, I'm always given credit where credit's due. But this one, that was me.
Credit's due to you, huh?
Well, credit through the Holy Spirit through me.
And we've talked about it 100 times on this podcast, and when we talk that when someone is truly converted, truly born again, there should be a change in heart,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so if we are truly born again with the Holy Spirit in us, a changed heart leads to changed action.
Mm-hmm.
And an unchanged heart, I love how you put this, continues to put self above all.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, you know, we can just use masks for example. I don't like wearing masks. They're uncomfortable. It's hot. This, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're always putting the emphasis on ourselves. And we've talked about this as well, that this idea is creeping into the American church where I go to church that sings the songs I like. I listen to a pastor that says the things I like.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the church is giving to me or whatever Christianity can give me, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've got to get away and we've got to be able to set ourselves apart from the world and not be conformed to the world.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. So, like, you live in a selfish world. I mean, we can all agree that today's world is more selfish than I've ever seen it in my 28 years here on earth, but it's more selfish now than it ever has been. And in my opinion, sin at the root of every sin is selfishness. I mean, that's why you sin because you want what you want. You're going after fleshly desires instead of putting God's desires in front of you. So if you're doing this and everybody else is going to be selfish and say, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do this, I think it's important for us to, like you said, look at our motives behind why we don't agree with the governing authorities. Look at our motives behind why we don't want to wear a mask. Look at why we don't want a social distance. Why we don't want to do this stuff. Now, like you said, this is not a podcast that we're sitting here pushing masks and pushing social distancing and pushing all that stuff. Don't get us wrong there. I'm just saying it's important.
We can use 100 different.
Yes, it's important, and I'm going to here in a second. But it's important for us to make sure that we are checking our motives behind what we're doing, Because that's what God sees. He doesn't see the fact that we're wearing a mask. He doesn't see the fact that we're social distancing. He doesn't see the fact that we're doing all this stuff. He wants to see our hearts, and he wants to see exactly why is it that you're doing this, and then check your heart and say, okay, is that a selfish motive? Is that a sinful motive? Do I need to change this? Do I need to look at this differently? God, show me through your word how I can be a better disciple for you.
And I like that you said, show me through your word. So when we think of our motives and the actions behind what we do, those motives should be lined up with Scripture.
Every time.
And so a guy named Dustin Benj on Twitter tweeted this, aligning yourself with Scripture, like we talked about, always puts you at odds with the wisdom of the world. So the wisdom of the world says, don't submit to authority. No one's my boss. I find my own truth. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this.
Yeah.
Where Scripture says, well, you have someone that has authority over you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do this yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so Christians should be a complete 180 of the world. But unfortunately, like we talked about, that world is starting to creep in and continue to creep into the church, where if the church doesn't look any different from the world, why would a non-believer want to go to church?
Yeah,
if he's exactly. had enough of the world
yeah.
and the church looks the same,
mm-hmm.
why would I go have more of the gossip? Why would I have more of the drama? Why would I have more of the complaining yeah. and bickering?
Yeah.
I can find that at the bar. I can find that at the ball game.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be called, we are called to be set apart and not conform to this world. And unfortunately,
the world's creeping into the church, so the church creeping into the world.
Providence Mennonite is as guilty as any church in the United States of letting the world creep in.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So like when it comes down to it, it's we have to understand, no matter what our circumstance, I was talking to a guy about this today, and I was talking about, we were talking about when he became converted to Christianity and his conversion, and he came to conversion late in his life, and he said, you know, before he got in there, he's having some marriage problems. Financially, it was bad. You know, all this stuff. And then he converted to Christianity. And when he converted to Christianity, all of a sudden his marriage didn't get... All of a sudden his marriage was great. And all of a sudden his bank account started going up. And all of a sudden all of his problems started going away. No, what happened was his perspective became, no matter if I'm struggling here or struggling there or struggling there, I can look at Christ and know that He is everything. And because of him, now I can improve my marriage. Now I can handle my finances better. Now I can do all this other stuff because it's not my emotions and my attitude and my well-being and my life is not driven towards these other things, but my life is driven towards God. So that's why I tell people all the time, if you're struggling through COVID-19, I'm not trying to be insincere when I say this, but maybe you need to look past COVID-19 and look at the God that sits on his throne that's above all of this stuff. And if you have that kind of mindset, then guess what? You can get through the day. I struggle with it. We're back at school now, and I'm sitting here thinking all this stuff that we have to do, it's tiring. I don't like it. And I start to get angry. I start to get frustrated. I start to get worn down. And I have to sit back and say, Josh, hey, look at what's going on. I mean, this past week, I have a very expensive repair job that I need done on my car that's been in the shop for like 2 weeks now. My wife decided to try to back through the garage with the garage door closed. Like, I've got a lot, and then I'm starting school, you know, all this other stuff. My son's teething. If you've ever been a parent, you know how that goes. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in my life right now that's not necessarily easy, but it's, can I choose to look at that or can I choose to look at God? And in doing that, that's going to change my mindset.
Well, I think you hit it on the head when you said everything, every sin is driven and fueled by selfishness. And so if you look at your circumstances and think, I deserve to have a good marriage. I deserve to have a good bank account. I deserve to get some sleep because my son didn't sleep last night. I guess our kids just tease at the same time. I didn't get sleep anyway.
Yeah.
If I deserve all that, then of course I'm going to have a terrible outlook when things go bad. I deserve to not be able to wear a mask. Whereas Christians, we know we don't deserve anything. And so having the opportunity to come to school is a blessing. And so what do we have to wear a mask? We can still interact with kids and do everything we love. And so it's just a mindset based from the grace that God has given, that Christ has given us, that taking that mindset out through our days and realizing we don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
We
You deserve one thing.
Well, we deserve hell.
That's what you deserve.
But
you don't want what you deserve.
But we are given the grace to go to work. We're given the grace. Right now, we're planning on going to school on Monday. That's going to be a blessing if kids get to show up.
Yeah.
If kids don't get to show up, it's going to be a blessing that we get to teach through Zoom. It's that mindset of, hey, I don't get what I deserve and thankful for it.
Yeah.
And so everything in my life is a gift from God.
Yeah. And that's in having that mindset changes how you view what's going on right now, how you view. So like my thing is too, this big thing, and we're going to get real deep here and real personal. But my thing is the amount of believers and Christians out there that are putting a lot of stake and a lot of stuff come November. I'm telling you what, people, this election coming in November does not change who God is and doesn't change what Christ has done. Does that mean that our country may go in one way or the other? Maybe. But in the end, God is sovereign over all. And no one person, no man here on earth is going to be able to trump what God can do. And you can sit there and you can fret and you can say that this election is going to change the scope of United States history forever, which I feel like that's been every election from the time of beginning, it seems like. People say it's going to change everything. They don't realize, like, A, God is way more powerful than the president, and B, the president really can't do a whole lot if you really – we're not going to get into whole history.
There's a lot of government. People that probably shouldn't have passed government class.
Exactly. They think one guy gets in there and everything changes. But it's one of those things where it's like we put so much reliance – we should put so much reliance on, well, if my pick or my preference doesn't get there, then everything's just – going to go awry, and that's not true.
Well, we can go back to those two points that Kevin brought out in his sermon. There's going to be glory brought to God by whatever leader's chosen.
Yes.
And we're also called to set apart. So if our guy doesn't get picked or doesn't get elected, number one, God knew that.
Yes.
And he ordained that.
Yes.
And so he's sovereign. He's going to have his glory brought somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, if our guy doesn't get elected and the country takes a turn for what you think is worse, whether, you know, it doesn't matter who your guy is. And let's say churches start getting persecuted a little bit or there's persecution. That's a really good way to start setting ourselves apart and not being conformed to the world.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that you should look at this election and with a little bit of anxious excitement because God knows who's going to win.
Yeah.
Plus, whatever happens, we get to be able to transform our minds and conform our minds to the will of God, not to the president of the United States.
Yeah, but and isn't it kind of scary? Isn't it kind of disheartening, too, a little bit, to see how the church has responded to this, the American church, I guess, to see how we've responded to this and to look at what happens when real persecution comes? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well,
I don't know if we're quite ready for that yet. And the thing is like, hey, guys, we need to be ready because it's coming.
Yeah, we talked about this last week sometime, but there have been people that have been using COVID as an excuse not to go to church because it's just not the way it was.
It's not the same. Yeah.
They don't feel comfortable. Well, guess what? There's a time coming where church is not going to be a legal activity in the United States.
Do you think that people in China want to meet underground? Or do you think that they'd rather meet publicly in buildings and be able to wear a mask and stuff like that? Do you know what I'm saying? Like your church attendance and your worship to God should not be based on your personal preferences, but should be based on the finished work of Jesus that drives you to go to church.
And that's where we talk about that. The culture, the American culture, pleasing me, making me comfortable, entertain me.
Yeah.
Is where we're creeping into, is creeping into the church. And so taking what, like you said, taking what Jesus has done, that we preach Christ crucified, what he has done, resurrected, we take that and we put that into our daily living. Whether that goes to church, that means we go to church wearing a mask or not sitting with our family or sitting a pew away from somebody.
Yeah.
It shouldn't matter as long as we're able to worship
Absolutely.
Our Creator.
And that's the thing, and I want to preface this with this. Don't for those people out there that don't think, I'm not saying that going to church is just like, that's something you have to do. Like, that's something that's necessary for your salvation. I'm just saying, coming to church, like, you should want to. I mean, that's scripture, that we should be gathering together with the saints. You know, not forsaking the assembly. Especially as the days draw near. The end of the days draw near. And I think it is time where it's getting to that point, where the day is drawing near. I wanted to bring in another point here that I think we could apply this to. So when talking about governing authorities or submit to leaders, obey your leaders and submit to them. Where does this play at work? At work, where I think a lot of us, I mean, that's talking a lot of the population here. So we're talking about governing authorities, but I think we could take that a step farther and say our bosses at work, being a good Christian worker by submitting to our bosses and leaders, CEOs, whatever it may be. I think that's important for us to carry this mindset into there.
And it's hard to do because we, at least for me, I don't view my boss, and I should, but I don't view my boss with as much authority as the cops or mm-hmm. the government, right? Mm-hmm. And so in Romans, Paul also talks about slaves obey your master, where the real Greek word is more like servant or employee, yeah, workers, kind of worker, yeah, right? Workers. So we are called to obey our bosses. And I'm guilty of at least once this week, I know at least once, grumbling about something my boss said that we have to do with this COVID stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, that's the world's grumbling, mm-hmm. you know, kicking in and creeping in. And so I'm just as guilty as everyone else. But it's good to remind ourselves of these things that Scripture says in order to try to transform.
Absolutely. And so and in this right now, like looking at your leaders, whether that's your boss, your church leaders, your governing leaders, whatever that may be, looking to them and giving them the same grace that was extended to you whenever you continued to sin, and God still, while he sent Christ to the cross, while we were still sinners and died for us, like, I think if we understand that grace, then we would be more apt to show that grace to people right now that are going through some unknown times and are human beings that are going to struggle, going to make tough decisions. And yeah, they may not make the right decisions all the time. And the thing is, just because you don't think it's the right decision doesn't make it a right decision. You know what I'm saying? It's just a difficult situation that we're trying to navigate right now. And I think that it's important for us as Christians to understand how to respond. So that we're being obedient to God. But then too, so that we're bringing honor and glory to God, so that we can be a witness for God, which is our job, which is our calling to do. And if we're not being that good witness for God, if we're out there rioting and everything else and being rebellious, well, what's the scripture say? You rebel against authority or governing authorities, you're rebelling against God in a sense.
And I don't think it's necessarily rebelling. I think it can be a little thing like a Facebook post.
Yeah.
Where you're slamming the local ordinance about the mask. You know, it's not we can look at the other side and say, well, look what they're doing. They're not obeying authority.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, am I 100% willingly accepting what the governing authority has placed in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I have to say no, because there's always that human mm-hmm. human instinct to push back against authority.
Yeah. And I think it's important. We do need to hit on this other point, too. I feel like we've hit the one hard side really hard. There are times where we're supposed to not adhere to governing authorities.
Yeah.
And that's whenever it trumps our ultimate authority, which is God's word. You know, like we said, we brought up several different Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Rahab, mm-hmm. in hiding the spies. And Kevin, that was one that Kevin brought out there.
Daniel, again, when he refused to quit praying.
Yes, yes. You see an example of this with John MacArthur out in California right now, you know, with everything that he's doing, keeping church open when they're telling him to close it down. But they're opening other things like abortion clinics and marijuana businesses and liquor stores and all other stuff. So understanding that whenever our bosses or governing authorities or whatever tell us to do something that goes against God's word, we're always supposed to submit to God over men. But it's important for us to understand where they, well, Josh, what's that line? I can't tell you what that line is.
I don't think the line is wearing masks.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
And so I guess...
There's nothing sinful about wearing a mask.
No, I guess...
And there's nothing sinful about not wearing a mask.
No.
Because I think that's two sides where it's arguing right now, as far as like, do you know what I'm saying? I'm being serious though, Nate. I mean, so if a mask is required, mm-hmm. if a mask is required, is what I'm saying. So you have those people out there that say, well, I wear a mask. If you don't wear a mask, you're being unloving to other people. Well, that's not necessarily true.
No, I don't agree with that.
I don't think
but
that.
I think if like right now, if you are in a building that cannot be. It cannot be socially distanced. You're required
and
to wear
a mask. A sign that says
and has a
masks
sign,
are required.
And you don't wear a mask, I believe you're disobeying that order. Yes. Right? And yes. I've been guilty of it. I've ran into Viking Mart without a mask, got a pop.
Well, anybody listening to this right now has been guilty of it. I mean, you could look at this mask thing as the same thing as speeding. You know, we're not supposed to go over the speed limit. And if I asked people before this whole mask thing came about, well, is speeding a sin? Well, yeah, you're disobeying the law. Yeah. Okay, well, it's not wearing a mask. I said, well, it's not law. Well,
but there's no scientific evidence.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, I would agree.
Right now, we're just using masks because that's in everyone's mind and everybody's daily
yes.
life.
But what I'm saying is just because you wear a mask or don't wear a mask, because there's both sides to it, because people say, well, if you wear one, then you're falling into the enemy's schemes. Like, what do you mean? I don't see that in Scripture. Or the other side, well, you're not being loving. Well, I'm not saying that's – you. It's hard for us to judge other people's motives.
Yeah.
But if you sit there and you don't wear a mask when deep down, you know, I should probably be wearing one, then I would probably call that a sin.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Because people – four people that are listening to this, two probably wear masks, two people don't. And so I guess in my
– a mask to personal conviction type of thing.
If Viking Mart has on the door mask required, and you don't wear a mask, you're disobeying that order from the government.
Yes.
And so, if you're willingly doing that, is that a sin?
So you have people over at your house. Should you wear a mask? You know what I'm saying? I think that's where everybody's finding.
Should me and you right now be wearing masks?
Be wearing masks.
Probably.
Well, I could put mine on right now. And this is how the podcast would sound if we had it on. That's just how, I mean, it's just so, I mean. But what I'm saying is, like, that's where I feel like the inconsistencies are coming from. And that's what's frustrating people. Well, when am I supposed to? When am I not supposed to? And that's where I get down to the whole thing of we can get real legalistic here and say you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that and you're supposed to do this. But if you're focused on following Christ and serving God in the greatest way that you possibly can and being obedient to him, you're doing the right thing. Whether that looks like wearing a mask or it doesn't look like wearing a mask. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think God will lead you in that way. I think God will show you in that way of how he wants you to be handling this situation. Do you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
I think it's hard for us to draw lines where lines aren't clearly defined.
In Scripture.
Yep. And that, but when they are clearly defined.
Yeah, if.
By all means, we need to be drawing lines.
If Matthew 85:14 says, now you have to wear a mask, we're not probably having this conversation.
Yes. So I think it's important for us to understand God calls us to adhere to our governing authorities and obey them unless it goes against what God has ultimately given us in his authority, in his word, then we're called to not. But like I said, Nate, how do I do this? How do I do this? I want to obey God, and I don't want to sin. You know, that should be everybody who's a Christian. That should be the question they should be asking themselves right now.
Daily.
How do I do this? How can I best serve God and be the best witness I can for him and not disobey his laws? You got to get in the Word. You got to get in the Word. You got to be praying, and God will show you. God will show you. And if it looks different than another person, so be it. But it's important for us to check our motives behind what we're doing. Because I know people that wear masks and they wear them for the wrong motives.
Oh, 100%.
And I know people that don't wear a mask and don't wear masks for the wrong motives. And I know people that wear masks for the right motives and don't wear masks for the right motives. It's all about a heart. It's all about the heart. God does not look at your face when you go up into heaven. If you have a mask on, you can come in. If you don't have a mask, you got to go out. which COVID-19's not in heaven, so I guess nobody would need one.
Thank the Lord.
But what I'm saying is you look at God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outside appearance. Because we can get real legalistic in this too.
Oh, 100%.
And it's important for us to make sure that we're not being legalistic and saying that, well, I have a mask, so I'm more holy than you. We're just trying to define this and look at Scripture. How best does this look in our lives, and how can we best be obedient to Him? So, tough discussion, but I think it's good. I mean, it's pertinent to what we got going on right now.
This is one of probably the most, and that's the reason you guys inserted this topic into the apologetics tour, I guess, is because this is, I mean, every Christian is facing this every day.
How many people do you think read Romans 13 or 1 Peter 2 before this all happened? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying you didn't read it, but I'm saying, like, you know, for me, it was like, oh, this is in there?
Ew.
And it just shows me, like, hey, you need to get in your word more and make sure you're studying this, because there's going to be instances come up all in our lives that the Bible addresses.
Oh, yeah. The Bible is a roadmap for everything that we're going to encounter, and we're using it to try to guide our lives.
It's not an old book that was just written for the people back then. It is a living and active word that pierces the heart. And when it pierces the heart, it's showing ourselves, hey, I'm right here.
Yep.
I'm wrong here. I need to improve here. I need to follow God here. You know what I'm saying? I think that's important. Get in the word. Get into Scripture. Get off social media. Seriously, get off social media and quit trying to find your answers there. Quit trying to find your answers through CNN or Fox News or whatever it may be. Find your answers in the Word. Find your answers in the Word. And I guarantee you, if you're digging there, you're not going to be disappointed. Those who seek, find. Thank you guys for joining us today. Like I said, we're going to be trying to do this every week as we finish up our We Have Answers series. I'd like to tell you what our next topic is over. I think it's over marriage, I think. So another great topic. I think we're going to be discussing marriage. We've got two guys here that have so many years of experience in marriage.
One of like eight combined.
8 years combined. So we'll have great things to say there, I'm sure.
Might as well get a special guest.
Yes, we may have to have... not our wives. We don't bring our wives on.
No, I don't
maybe.
Think they even listen.
Yeah. So thank you guys for joining us today. Until next time, I'm Josh. I'm joined with Nate here at the PMC Podcast. God bless.